Miss a step. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. It's been a great, great week of Bible school as we have come together. And one of the best Bible schools we've ever had, I think, as everything went very smoothly and a lot of help through a lot of volunteers that came through this week. And I just want to thank everyone for being a part of it, and for those that couldn't be here, for your prayers during the week. It was a very special time. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we begin today, and some very important teachings that the Bible gives us about teaching our children diligently. Now, a lot of you out there are looking at me and saying, you know, my children are grown. Well, something that I've learned as my children have left home is I'm still their parent. I'm still dad, and I'm still granddad, and there's still responsibilities that we have. And in our church, I know we have several families that are raising their grandchildren. They have become the parents all over again, and that's a very difficult situation to be in. But something that even in the difficulties that we have as parents and grandparents and raising these children is this: we have a responsibility to teach them the Word of God. We have the responsibility to teach them the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. That's what we're going to be hopefully getting into our lives. And not only do we have the responsibility at home, but we have the responsibility at church. We want these children and young people to feel loved and cared for, and we want to make them to the point where they want to be here. Presley loves to come to church. She'll say to her mama all the time, "Can we go to church today? Can we go to church?" And Eli's the same way. He has grown in his love for the church. And my prayers, Owen's going to get there too. I know he enjoys being here, but he wants Mama close by. He likes Mama being there. But this past week, as we had Bible school, Turner, who's two, Ashley was helping in vacation Bible school, and he got home, and as soon as they got home, he looked at his mama and said, "Go church, Mom? Go to church, Mama?" He wanted to come back to church. He was enjoying being here. Folks, it's important that they enjoy being here and feel loved and cared for, and that people want them here. And we need to want that as well. As we go through this scripture, I'm not going to go through it in order this morning, but we're going to take a look at some different things and let God speak to our hearts, hopefully, about how God is working and who He is. And I'm going to pick up in verse 4 in chapter 6 and read through verse 9 to begin with. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now, what is he telling them here? He's telling them, this is important. This is important, what I'm talking about here. These words that I'm giving to you are important, and there's a responsibility here for you. There's a responsibility to teach. There's a responsibility for you to know what you're teaching. You know, when we've got to teach something, or when we're going to share something, we usually try to get in there and learn as much as we can about what we're going to teach. There is no greater responsibility as parents and grandparents and leaders in the church as to teach the children. And as we think about teaching these children, we've got to realize we have a great responsibility to learn the Word of God so that they can learn the Word of God. We learn it so that it's It's a part of our lives. We write it upon our hearts. We memorize it. We learn it. And we let our children and grandchildren and the children of this church, and not just the children of this church, but everyone in this community understand that this is the most important thing in my life, being a Christian, knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, so that I can stand and people can know that even though I'm not perfect, I have a love for Jesus Christ that is real. And not only do I know Him, but I want the world around me to know Him as well. There's a responsibility there that He gives to us. He tells us, bind them on your hand. Put them as frontals on your forehead. To the Jewish people, this was very important to them. They understood that they had a great responsibility in their home of sharing and teaching and praying and leading their family in a way that they could see and know that there is one God, Jehovah, and He is alive and He is well and He is at work. That same God that the Jews in the Old Testament were lifting up provided for us salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus came and died on the cross for our sin, shed His blood so that we could have forgiveness and eternal life with Him, a relationship with Him that we had messed up, but He made things right through the blood of Jesus for all who will place their faith in Him. Look back up at verse 1. He says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." There are commands, and this is a command that is being given. This is not a suggestion that God has for His people. This is a command. This is something that He says, "I want you to do this. I expect you to do this." We look at children sometimes and we tell them, "I expect this to be done." Well, this is exactly what God is telling us here. I expect you to love the children, to teach the children, to provide for the children, to help them to come to a point where they can understand who God is, what God has done for them. And when God gives us a command, we ought to follow it, don't you think? I mean, this is something we look at very often. Jesus said these words, "If you love me, you're going to do what I command. You're going to do what I've told you to do." If we love God, what He's telling us is, you're going to do what I'm telling you to do here. You're going to make my word important. You're going to make me important. And we're going to help our children to learn and to grow and to realize that God's commands are important to us, and He gives them to us for a reason. There are results for obeying. Look at verse 3. He says, "O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." He says there's going to be some rewards that come with being faithful, with doing the things that need to be done. God's providing them with a great land. He's brought them out of Egypt, and they're going into to a land that He has provided for them so that they can be able to prosper. But look down in verses 10 through 12. He says, Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat, and you are satisfied. Then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Now here's one of the problems as God blesses. And we see this in America today. God has given us a great land. He has given us a great opportunity. And for a long time in this land, we as Christians were faithful and prospered and were able to share the love of Christ with others and in ways that we saw freedoms. And as we go through this message, we're going to see some things that are taking place that show us that we're not as faithful as we once were. And when we begin to look at the things that we learn and find out we're not as faithful as we once were, what we're saying is we're not faithful anymore as a nation. Now, there are churches that are faithful, and I believe this is one of them. We are striving to be faithful to the Word of God and to teach in the ways that we need to. But the church as a whole is not faithful to the Word anymore. We're too worried about what somebody's going to think or what somebody's going to do or how somebody's going to react. But we're called to be faithful to God no matter what. Isn't that what we see the example set for us in the Word of God? We're to be faithful. There are results for obeying. There are rewards that He gives. But there are consequences for disobeying. Consequences for disobeying. Look with me over in the book of Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea writes these words, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." Those are some strong words, aren't they? Now we say, now how's God going to forget the children? Well, here's the thing. There's a responsibility to learn the Word of God so that we can teach the Word of God. If we as adults don't learn the Word of God, we can't teach the Word of God. If we don't teach the Word of God to our children, if we don't encourage them to be in church, if we don't love them when they are here, if we don't encourage them, they won't be here in the future. Folks, it's important that these children learn from us. We've got to understand this, and we talk about this from time to time. There are always consequences for sin. Can we agree on that? There are always consequences for sin. Even when there's forgiveness, there are still consequences that take place. God is teaching us. He is loving for us. He is caring for us. Children are not taught because the parents have forgotten. And we see that very much today. We see it very much today. The parents have found other things that are more important. Parents have gotten involved in all these things because the world's kids are involved in all these things, and we think, well, I want my kid to be a part, so they've got to be a part of that too. And so what do we see? We see sports have become more important than church, more important than Bible study. We see television has become more important than church and Bible study. We have found that the internet is more important than church and Bible study. Everybody's got these phones now. If phones, the phones that we have now today, they are taking away relationships. They are taking away so much of everything that we are. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of these things if they're kept in the right context and under the right control. And I'm talking about even in adult lives. But we have gotten things so out of order and so out of place. There are consequences for disobedience. Now, as we look around this nation, and I have people get mad at me all the time for saying this, but I believe that our nation is in trouble today because the church has let down on our responsibilities. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, he's not calling on the lost world. He's calling on the church to do what we are supposed to do. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we are to stand for Jesus Christ. And that begins in our homes. If we're not going to stand for Jesus in our homes, we're not going to stand for Jesus anywhere. And folks, just being in church on Sunday, that's not showing the world your faithfulness to Jesus. It's every day. Now, we need each other in church. We need the encouragement we receive. We need the Bible study together that we receive. We need the unity that the Bible speaks to us to have as we come together. But if we don't take what we learn in here and take it home, and then take it into the community and take it into the workplace, the world's not going to see Jesus in us. They're not going to see the faithfulness of who God is to us. Folks, we are responsible today. We are responsible today. We have a responsibility of teaching, of sharing, of loving and living for Jesus Christ at all times. Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, that doesn't mean a child might not rebel at a point. That does not mean that a child might not get away from things at a point. But if they're taught, if they see in us the likelihood of their coming back to Christ and living a godly life is much greater than if they don't see in us the love of Christ at all. Teach your children. Folks, the main responsibility of teaching children is with the parents and with the grandparents. Too many parents today want it to happen at church and at school. Want it to happen somewhere else. But they want it to happen under their guidelines. No discipline. The world is looking for us for no discipline. The world is looking for us not to teach Jesus. Now, they got to understand when they come to church, they're going to learn about Jesus. We've taught Jesus a lot this week. They have heard Jesus, 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 Jesus. But what we realize is this, for some of these kids, the only time they're going to hear it. The only time they're going to hear about Jesus. So we've got to do the best we can with the time that we have. We've got to be faithful with that. But the main responsibility, as we've seen in the Word of God, belongs with the parents, with the grandparents, with the aunts, with the uncles, with the family that can come together and share the love of Christ and encourage in the love of Christ. You've got more time. You've got more influence. They trust you more. They're looking to you for what they need. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Let your family see the love of the Lord in your life, in all things. You say, well, I do love the Lord. Well, here's a question I want to ask you. Does it show? Does it show? Something I've always wanted my children to see in me is that I love my wife. Now, we didn't go overboard showing affection, but I wanted to see them to see me hold her hand. I wanted them to see me give her a kiss. I wanted them to see that their daddy loved their mother. That's an important thing for our children to see. But even greater than that, I want my children to see that I love Jesus. I wanted them to see that Jesus is not just someone I talk about when I get in the pulpit and stand in front of a group of people. I wanted them to understand that when I preach a message, that I'm not just giving a speech, that I'm proclaiming the living Word of God and proclaiming hope and peace and love that comes through Jesus Christ. And it's important. And our children need to see that in us. Even when they're grown, even when they're away from home. What we've got to realize is this. These children that were here for Vacation Bible School this past week, they are the future of Wilsonville Baptist Church. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we look at them that way or not, these children are the future leaders of this church. Or not. They need to know that we love them. We're here to support and we're here to encourage the parents and the grandparents and the family members, the guardians that bring these children to church. We're here to encourage, support, and teach. We're here to teach you and your children the Word of God. What we want you to understand and what we want everyone to understand is this. We're not an entertainment center. Now, while we do some things that are fun and entertaining, that's not the purpose of why we're here. When we look at the Word of God, we should understand why we're here. We're here to learn God's Word. We're here to take time in the Word of God and learn it. And so as we learn it, we teach our children. We share with our children. We teach the parents. We teach the grandparents. We teach and we learn so that we can bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ as we learn more about Him. As we come into to this place and we lift up our voices and we bring praise to the name of Jesus Christ. This is supposed to be all about Him. Not all about me, all about Him. And so we need to grasp that. I'm going to close today talking about a recent survey that was taken. And I want us to take this very seriously as we think about it. 5 points here. Number one, 88% of youth do not talk with their moms about faith issues. 88% of youth do not talk to their mom at any point about faith issues. That's hard for me to grasp. My mom was my go-to. My mom was a spiritual leader. She knew the Word of God, and she shared the Word of God, and she was easy to talk to about faith and what that meant. and living it and getting encouraged from it. 88% of youth never talk to their mom about faith issues. Now, you may be a grandmother now. You may not have any children in your home, but there's someone that needs you, ladies, to talk to them, to encourage them. They need to know that somebody cares. Somebody is there to listen to. We talk about all these other things with children. Around 60% of children that become Christians have a mom that's faithful in church. Around 60% have a mom that's faithful in church. It says to me that it's important for who moms are and what moms do. In the Old Testament and in the Jewish life, mom's greatest responsibility was to teach the Word of God. 88% of youth do not talk with their moms about faith issues. 95% of youth do not talk to their dads about faith issues. 95%. That's a high percentage, isn't it? That's a very high percentage. But dads, granddads, men of this church, I want you to know these children are watching you. Around 80 to 90% of children that become Christians do so when the dad is faithful in church. The dad's role is very important. Don't downplay it. Don't throw everything off on your wife. They're watching you. They see who you are. They want to be like you. Men, your sons are watching. Your grandsons are watching. Your nieces and nephews, they're watching. They see you. They see who you are. They see how you act. They see what is important. 91% of youth do not have any Bible or devotions at home. None. The Bible's not opened at the house. At least not for the kids to see. They don't see it. They don't realize what is going on. They have their video games, as we talked about, the TV, the internet, their phones, but they don't have Jesus. They don't have Jesus. We're giving them things, but we're not giving them Jesus. We're giving them stuff, but what is most important? And eternity with Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked about this maybe in last week a little bit. Very few people are saved after they leave high school. Around 85% are saved before they get out of high school. Around 95% are saved before they leave college. I'm talking about those people that are saved. It's important while they're young that they learn about Jesus Christ. 90% of youth active in high school youth groups do not go to church by the time they are sophomores in college. They find other interests. They're looking for other things. They're looking for something that's more important. Maybe more fun, more entertaining. When I was in college, I started working as a youth minister at Moaga Baptist Church. Met my wife at church. Didn't meet her in a college classroom. I didn't meet her at a business. And thank God I didn't meet her at a bar. I met her at church. And God provided for me a godly woman. A godly woman that wants to live her life for Jesus Christ. That wants to share that love with others. That prays. That leads. She is a faithful servant. And if y'all see her today, tell her happy birthday. It's tomorrow, but you can tell her today. She'll probably get me for that one. But God blessed me with a godly wife. Now, I understand this. Church is not a dating place, but it is a great place to meet your wife. Better than any other place I know. We studied the Bible together. We read the Bible together. We talked. We discussed. And over time, it grew into something more. Out of those 90% of youth that leave church and college, 33% of those will never return. Never return. So Tyler, that's why I tell you, going to Harvard, it's not going to be easy. But I want you to know, you got a church family here that's going to pray for you and encourage you. And I want to encourage you today from this pulpit, remain faithful. God loves you. And I believe He's got great things for you if you remain faithful to Him. And I look forward to seeing what He's going to do in your life. Folks, that's important for all of us to realize. Teach diligently. These children are important. Tonight we're going to have a program here at the church. I want to encourage you to be here tonight to love on these families that have brought their children to be a part of this church this week. Let them know that they are loved and cared for. Let them know that we want them here. And we want to help them to grow in the Word of God. Be back tonight. But I want to ask you this morning. Do you know Jesus? Do you serve Jesus? Do others see Jesus in you? I invite you to come to the altar this morning. I invite you to come if you've got a decision that God has laid on your heart. Let's let God have His way this morning in our lives as we look at how we're serving, not just here at church, but at home. Father, as we come before You today, we once again thank You for all that You do in our lives and in our hearts. We thank You for the opportunity that You give us to come together to serve You. And Father, as we have allowed Your Word to speak to our hearts, many of us today need to come in repentance, knowing that we have not served You well in the home. But we realize that today is a new day, and we can begin to serve now. We can begin to teach now. And even if our children have left home, we can still encourage them, love them, and teach them. Father, I thank You that You don't give up on us. I thank You that we have You to look to at all times. And we pray this morning that as we have this time of commitment, that as You speak to our hearts, that we would faithfully respond. In Your name I pray. Amen. As we stand together and we sing this morning, You come.